Is Jennifer doing King's Kids, Jennifer? Or Julia? Yes. All right, kids are heading down to King's Kids. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 11 this evening. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. This evening I wrote down a few things that I am thankful for. And I'm glad Brother Caleb did the... I was going to ask you what you're thankful for if he hadn't. Amen? But he beat me to it. So praise the Lord for that. I'm thankful for my salvation. Amen? And we have been in Sunday school talking about personal evangelism and hearing testimonies from each of us. And that's been a blessing. It really has. Praise the Lord for that. My wife was able to give her testimony this last Sunday. And what a blessing it is just to hear how God saves an individual. It's amazing, isn't it? For all of eternity, that person is now saved. They're going to heaven. They have a relationship with God. They didn't before, now they do. Praise the Lord for that. I'm thankful for my children. Amen? It's a good thing to be thankful for. Even though sometimes I'd like to strangle some of them. Amen? But no, I really am thankful for my children. God's given me wonderful children, and praise the Lord for that. And I pray on a regular basis that God would call them each into the ministry, if it's His will. And I think we're all in full-time ministry, don't you think? Whether you're, vocational at it or not, we're all supposed to be in full-time ministry of reconciliation. God's given us that ministry, amen? So I pray that the Lord, uses my children one day. The Bible says that children are like arrows in a quiver, right? And they can be drawn back, and you got to aim, and then you let go. And they go. And God uses them, amen? So praise the Lord for that. I'm thankful for my church family, amen? I'm thankful for you. And what a blessing it is to just to have fellowship with like-minded people. We have fellowship in the person of Jesus Christ. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? And then I'm thankful for the Word of God. You thankful for the Bible this evening? That's an amazing thing. God gave us this book, and it is His love letter, if you will, to us. And He didn't have to give it to us, but He did. Isn't that amazing? The first time man sinned, God could have said, I'm done. He could have, couldn't He have? But He didn't. He promised a Messiah. He gave us His Word. And He gave us Jesus Christ. What an amazing thing this is. And so praise the Lord for His goodness to us. I'm thankful for the provision that God gives. I'm thankful for my job. Amen? And I'm thankful for the opportunity to be a pastor, but also thankful for the job that God has given me. I write software, and what a wonderful thing. If you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. Amen? And I enjoy it. I really do. I was coding today. And I don't think many people would like it very much, but I enjoy it. I really do. So, each their own. Amen? I don't know if I'd like cleaning windows, brother. But, yeah. Yeah, so praise the Lord. But, God has given us, the strength to work. He's given us, and then He gives us the provision we need, doesn't He? He takes care of us every day. He promises to supply all of our needs. What a wonderful thing. So praise the Lord for His goodness. We're going to look this evening at, let's see here, 1, 2, 3, 4 things that Jesus said that He was thankful for. Amen? Now, I think Jesus probably has a longer thank you list than we have this evening. But these are 4 things in the Scripture that Jesus said that He was thankful for. And so I think we should make them things we're thankful for. Amen? And praise the Lord for that. Before we do, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Lord, I pray You bless us as we look through Your Word this evening. I pray that these few moments that we have together, and we look at a few things that You were thankful for while You were here on this earth, and I believe You still are thankful for them. Lord, I pray that You'd help us understand what You have for us. Help us to apply these truths to our lives, even today. Help us be thankful people, and we'll thank You for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, let's look at Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 25. Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 25. Jesus said in verse number 25, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Now, this is an endearing thing. Jesus is talking about his disciples, and he refers to them as babes here. Isn't that amazing? A term of endearment. It really is. Now, as I read this passage, I see that Jesus is thankful for the faith of his disciples. Jesus is thankful for the faith of his disciples. All right? Look, if you would, back at verse number 20 and look at the context here. Verse number 20 says, "Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not." Imagine if we would have had, and you know, imagine if Jesus would have bodily come to Butte, Montana, and you know, and as he walked down the street, the sidewalks are lined with people who are ailing from different things. Isn't that amazing? And that's often what happened in the Bible. And so they would bring these people up to the street, and Jesus would go by, and he would heal these people. And what an amazing thing this would be. And you would think that Jesus would go through and heal multitudes of people, and there were many places that Jesus said he healed all of them. And it's just amazing to me. It's mind-boggling how a city and a whole village or town had all these sick people, and Jesus healed every single one of them. Imagine going to the hospital after that. You wouldn't need a hospital anymore. That's amazing to me, isn't it? It'd be empty. And praise the Lord for the things that Jesus did. But, you know, healing someone, we saw this on Sunday, healing someone physically is not the same as them getting saved. Remember that? We saw that in the book of John in chapter 9. And we see here that even though Jesus went through these towns, and he did many mighty works. In fact, most of his works were done in these cities that we're going to talk about. They did not repent. They didn't believe on Jesus. There's a whole lot of people in this world that are looking for a social gospel, are they not?
Right.
A whole lot of people in this world looking for a physical gospel. They want healing. They want God to fix their problem right now. But they would rather not God deal with their spiritual life. And don't talk to me about eternity. And so in this passage here, he's about to speak about some cities that had seen the mighty works of Jesus, yet they did not repent. Verse 21 says, "Woe unto thee, Chorazin," I may butcher the names, amen, but we'll get through it. "Woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes." Isn't that amazing? He's citing two cities that were very, very heathenistic. They weren't even chosen children of God. But if Jesus said, if I would have gone to them and done the same works, they would have repented. Look at verse number 22. "But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon and at the day of judgment than for you." That's amazing. If I was in one of these two cities that he mentioned in verse 21, I think I would want to repent right now. Look at verse 23. "And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day." It's an amazing thought. The Bible talks about Sodom was buried with, you know, brimstone. And fire and brimstone. Why? Because they were heinous sinners. And we look at Sodom and we say they were just the most wicked people on the face of the earth. I think America is going down the same road, honestly. But Jesus said, if there's no repentance, there's no hope. Amen? Look at verse 24. "But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee." And so we understand the context leading up to verse number 25. And so Jesus in verse number 20 began to upbraid these cities who witnessed the most of the miracles that Jesus had done, yet they did not repent. Here we learn that God's expectation is directly related to light that has been given. What God expects from us is directly related to how much light he has given us. Does that make sense? To whom much is given, much is required. Correct? You ever you understand what directly related means, right? Remember when I was in high school, we talked about math, and there's indirectly related and there's directly related, right? The more light, the more expectation that God expects from us. Luke chapter 12 and verse number 47 says this, "And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit the things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For to whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." All right? If God has given you more light, he expects a whole lot from you.
Amen.
All right? Now, in verse 25, Jesus turned to heaven and he thanked the Father for two things here in verse 25. Number one, his mercy. You notice in verse 25 it says, At that time Jesus answered and said, "I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent." You see, there are many people that hear the gospel, perhaps, and instead of believing in the gospel, maybe they hear a spiritual truth from God, and instead of humbling themselves and listening to the truth of God, they become wise in their own mind, right? They think, "I have it all figured out. I think I'm going to disregard what God has said." And so God calls them wise in their own conceit. And what does God do to a person like that? God begins to hide truth. And that's exactly what happened. We're in the book of Matthew, and you get to chapter 13, and from that chapter 13 on, Jesus began to speak in parables. And he said why. He told the disciples exactly why. Because it's for you to understand the truth, but for them who have already rejected, it's for them not to see the truth. They're going to hear the truth in plain in their ears, but they're not going to understand it. You see, God begins to hide truth from those who reject it. And I think that's out of the mercy of God. Because God looks at someone and the more they reject the truth, the more God hides truth from them. And I think that's a biblical principle in the Bible. You know, God forbid that God would ever begin to hide truth from me. That would be terrible, would it not?
Yeah.
That would mean that I am not living the way I ought to be living. It means I'm not listening to God the way I should be listening to him. And so the Bible says, in his mercy. Now, he could have just kept pouring the truth into these rejecting Jews. Could he not have? He could have just poured his truth out. And the more truth, the more light they received, the more worse their judgment would have been. But out of God's mercy, and that's his mercy, he started withholding truth. Isn't that amazing? The second thing that Jesus is thankful for is grace. Grace. Look in the latter part of the verse. He says, "And hast revealed them," in other words, these truths that Jesus is speaking and teaching, "hast revealed them unto babes," in other words, his disciples. The more we receive the truth, the more truth God gives us. Isn't that amazing? And God, it's almost like he turns up the light. He turns it up. I mean, and I remember my mom, she would come through in the morning, and depending on what mood she was in, you know, it'd be dark outside, dark in her room. If she wasn't in the greatest mood, she'd just flip the light straight on. You know what I mean? Just flip it on. And I tell you, you're just like, turn it off. It's so bright, you know? If she was in a nice mood and, you know, and time wasn't so much of a crunch, you know what I mean? She'd turn on the closet light and crack the door a little bit. She'd come through a couple minutes later. She'd open a little more and she'd run through one more time. She'd turn the light on now. Our lives are adjusted to the light. You know what I mean? And, you know, I think God, the more we receive the truth of God, the more he turns it up. He gives you more and more understanding. Have you noticed? I've noticed this in my life. The more I read the Bible, the more of it I understand.
Amen.
I mean, isn't it amazing? I hear new Christians, and I've seen some Christians get very discouraged about this. They come to me and they say, "Pastor, I don't understand the Bible." And so therefore they close it. That's sad. It really is. Because you may not understand everything in this Bible. Because you're not ready for it. But we just keep on reading it. Amen? And the more we receive, the more we put what we do understand and what God does show us into practice in our life, we'll read through the same passage again, and God will teach us something we never saw before. Isn't that amazing? Praise the Lord for his grace. Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 10. The disciples came and said, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" And he answered and said unto them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." Why? Because the disciples had received what they heard. They weren't like Chorazin. They weren't like Bethsaida. They weren't like Capernaum. They had heard Jesus Christ. They had received it. And God says, "Because you've received my truth, I'll give you more." Isn't that amazing? Jesus is thankful for that. And so I guess we could say this evening, Jesus is thankful to his heavenly Father when you have faith in his word. I tell you, when you sit down and read the Bible or come to a church service and hear the Bible preached and the Holy Spirit pricks your heart about something, and the Holy Spirit says, "This is something that needs to change in your life," and then you go and change it, I tell you, Jesus, verse 25 is said all over again. Thank you. Thank you, my Heavenly Father, for teaching that. And thank you for revealing to them the truth. Jesus is thankful for your life when you have faith in him. Isn't that amazing? Praise the Lord for that. A few lessons Jesus teaches in the verses after that. Verse number 26, Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. We learn from verse 26 here that God the Father does that which is good in his sight. Amen? Whatever he says is good. Amen? We just need to have faith in that. Amen? Jesus will bless that. Verse 27, for all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, and no man knoweth any, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. In this verse, I see that there's a definite path to the knowledge of God, and that's through Jesus Christ, his Son. Simply put, in verses 28, a very familiar verse, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and I am meek, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." There is rest for those who come to the Father through Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. All right, now the second thing I want you to look at this evening, John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Let's turn over to Book of John. One of my favorite stories in the Bible. And we'll start in verse number 11. Jesus tries our faith sometime, doesn't he? Here he tried Philip's faith and Andrew's faith, and really all of his disciples' faith. Here are thousands of people sitting, and 5,000 to be exact, according to the Bible. And Jesus says, "You feed them." With what? You know, what an amazing story. And here comes a little boy with a lunch and two small fishes and five loaves. And Jesus, in verse number 11, look what it says. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down. Likewise, the fishes as much as they would. Now, this is interesting. Jesus gave thanks. And if you, this story finishes, and then the disciples are on the sea. Remember that part of the story? I think that the two stories are connected. And so Jesus is on the mountaintop that evening, and at night the disciples were on the ocean, and they were about to drown. Their boat was about to sink, and Jesus came to them walking on the water. But in the morning time, if you look down at verse number 22, so after that happened, in the morning time then, Jesus and the disciples are both on the other side of the sea. Verse 22, and the day following... when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one whereinto his disciples were entered, and Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. So, I mean, the people come out of the woodwork again, and they're looking for Jesus a second time. I think they wanted fed again. That's probably what they wanted. They wanted to see another miracle. And Jesus said as much later. But we see in verse 22 that they're scratching their heads. They said, I know, I looked, there was only one boat here. The disciples got in it, Jesus did not. But Jesus isn't here anymore. Where's he at? Verse 23. Howbeit, there come over boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread. And notice what it says at the end of verse 23. After that, the Lord had given thanks. As I've read through my Bible, there are things that come out of the page and just the proverbial fist comes out and just smacks you in the face, right? And it says, look at that word. Look at that phrase. It seems to me, in the book of John at least, this rendition of this story, there's an emphasis placed on giving thanks. The fact that Jesus gave thanks for these five loaves and two fishes. And at the end of the story, the next morning, the people remembered in their minds that they got fed after Jesus gave thanks. That's an amazing thought, isn't it? And so there's something to this giving thanks. So Jesus was thankful in this passage, in verse number 11 there, specifically for the blessings of God. Isn't it? Jesus is going, in verse number 11 there, he's going to give. He's going to take the loaves. He's going to feed all 5,000 people with these few loaves, five loaves and two fishes. And before he does, he said he gave thanks. That's an amazing thought. Now, think about this. The emphasis here in this passage is on the giving of thanks. And my question is, why would Jesus give thanks for something he created? Isn't that amazing? I mean, from the very beginning, he created all of the barley and all of the ingredients that made up these loaves, did he not? And he himself had created the two fishes that he's about to break and give to these people. But then he's going to multiply this untold amount of times, just creating more. And so why would Jesus give thanks for something he was about to create? A few thoughts on this. Notice there's some lessons to learn from this passage. Number one, blessings from God always come from above.
Amen.
They come from above. In fact, in this story, Matthew chapter 14, the same story, Matthew chapter 14, verse 8 says that Jesus looked up to heaven before he gave thanks. So Jesus, he's God the Son, but he looked up to heaven and he said, this is where the blessing is coming from. All the people sitting there, all the disciples gathered around, I'm about to give this bread to all these people. It's going to be a miracle. Your mouths are going to be just like gaping wide open, and you're not going to believe it. Right in front of you, you're still not going to have faith. You're not going to believe it. He says, but I want you to know this before I do this. What's about to happen came from above. That's a wonderful lesson, isn't it? Wonderful lesson. In verse 11 there, we see this phrase, blessings of God are limitless. Look at verse 11. It says, the very last part of the verse, it says, as much as they would. There is no limit to God's blessing. Did you know that? It never ends. If you're thankful for it, if you're thankful for it, and of course you're taking what God is giving you and you're using it for his will, there's no end to it. It just keeps on going and keeps on going. What if there had been 10,000 people there? Do you think Jesus could have fed them with the five loaves and two fishes? I guarantee it. I mean, it's limitless. As much as they would. You guys still hungry? Yeah, I'm still hungry. All right, let's just get some more here. Isn't that amazing? Notice number two here, the blessings of God are overflowing. Look at verse 12. The Bible says, and when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? And the Bible says they have, in verse 13, they filled 12 baskets, one for each of the disciples. So they're all carrying. How big was the basket? I have no clue. I have an idea. It was a big basket, 12 baskets full of fragments left over from this meal. And we started with just a lunchbox. Isn't that amazing? It's limitless. And it's overflowing. When God begins to bless your life, it just doesn't stop. It's an amazing thing. It's like it's shaken down. It's overflowing. Notice in verse number 12 there, the blessings of God are not to be wasted. I think that's very important. Verse 12, you know, it says that nothing be lost. Don't just throw the crumbs out for the birds to eat. This is the blessing from God. Let's get it. Let's save it. Let's use it. And so the blessings of God are not to be wasted. Look down at verse number 15. The blessings of God are not to be used for selfish gain. The Bible says, when Jesus therefore perceived that they, this is the 5,000 people, would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. You see, they wanted him just to, every day, let's bring him 5 loaves and 2 fishes every day, and this amazing miracle worker could feed us for the rest of our lives. And what Jesus is saying in verse 15, you've missed the point. You've missed it completely. I want to give you the bread of life, not more barley loaves. You can be hungry today. I could feed you today, but you'll be hungry tomorrow. What you need is Jesus Christ. And so the blessings of God here are not to be used for selfish gain. And I see a lot of people. God truly blesses their life, and then they take what God has given them and they use it on themselves. God can't honor that. Well, if that's the case, then God's blessings will cease to be limitless. I think they'll cease to be overflowing, don't you think? I think you're wasting God's gift. Let's look at two more here very quickly and I'll be done. John chapter 11. John chapter 11. John chapter 11 is a very powerful chapter. Story of Lazarus being raised from the dead. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. That's an amazing, amazing truth. But I want to focus on verse 41. The Bible says, then they took away the stone. It always amazed me in this passage that Jesus asked them to remove the stone so that he could do the miracle. Just a few days later, he removed his own stone from his grave. So Jesus could very well move the stone away, could he not? But, you know, sometimes God wants us to get involved in his miracle, doesn't he? Yeah, if someone else wants to, he wants to save somebody, we need to get involved in it. He's asking us to go out and witness. Well, Jesus, you could go tell them about your gospel. Can't you send an angel? Of course he could, but he wants to use you. Isn't that amazing? So verse 41, and they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. You know what Jesus was thankful for in this passage? I believe he's thankful for the salvation of God. The salvation of God. God is about to raise a man from the dead. All right? And notice he's not thankful. You know, it's interesting to me. He's not thankful necessarily that Lazarus is going to be risen from the dead. I mean, honestly, if you think about it, out of most people in the Bible, Lazarus got one of the rawest deals in the whole book. He really did. Can you imagine the angels in heaven? Here's Lazarus. He just got to heaven. I mean, he's pretty excited, I'm sure. You know, if you just got to heaven, you'd be excited. Amen? And then the angels are like, you know, you go tell him. No, you tell him. Rolling straws, you know. Who's going to tell Lazarus? You got to go back, pal. You know? I tell you, it was a raw deal for Lazarus. Really, it was. But why did Jesus do this whole thing? So that his name would be glorified. And so these people who were standing about, Mary, Martha, and all the people that are mourning for Lazarus's death, Jesus is going to show them that he is the resurrection and the life. And for that, Jesus is thankful. Isn't that amazing? Praise the Lord for that. He's thankful for the salvation that God can give. Giving thanks to God leads others to believe in him. It leads others to believe in him. When you are thankful for what God has done in your life, when you're thankful for your salvation, that helps other people hear about Jesus Christ. It helps other people. Psalm 40 and verse number 2. He brought me also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Isn't that amazing? David said, he's talking about his salvation experience, he's talking about his salvation. And he said, I cried to the Lord, he inclined his ear, and he pulled me out of that miry pit. He put my feet on a rock, he established my goings. If that wasn't enough, then he put a new song in my mouth so that I, David, could praise him. Why? So that many could see it and fear and trust in the Lord. Isn't that amazing? God wants you to be thankful so that others will trust in the Lord. Praise the Lord. One last one and we'll be done. Luke 22. Luke 22. Luke 22 and verse number 17. Now, I want you to bear in mind, Luke 22 is before Jesus died on the cross. It is before Jesus was arrested. In fact, he hadn't even gone to the Garden of Gethsemane yet. Judas has been filled with Satan himself, the son of perdition, and about doing his work. But the rest of the disciples are totally oblivious of what's going on. And Jesus is eating this last supper with them. Look at verse 27. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. Verse 19. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Place yourself, now I'm not trying to be sacrilegious here at all. I'm not trying to be unholy in the least. But if you were in Jesus' shoes and you knew exactly what's going to happen to you in the next 24 hours, and the ridicule you're going to go through, and the beating that you're going to, he knew all of it. He knew what was coming. And here he is, he's breaking the bread at the Last Supper. Were there tears coming down his cheeks? I don't know. I don't think so from this passage. I think he was truly thankful here. There's truly some gratitude in his soul. And he breaks the bread and he hands it to his disciples. The disciples are totally oblivious about what's going to happen here. He's told them over and over and over again that he is going to go to the cross. He's going to die. All these things are going to happen. He's going to be beaten. He's going to be falsely accused. And it just went way over their heads. They didn't get it. And so Jesus is here. He's breaking the bread. And he says, this bread is a picture of my body that's going to be broken. He is literally saying this in the same sentence. He said, this means that this is a picture of my suffering. But in verse 19 says, he gave thanks. That's an amazing thought. So the truth from this verse I want you to see is Jesus was thankful for his suffering. He was thankful for his suffering. Why? So that you could be saved. That's an amazing thought. You know, when I think about that, just to apply it to our lives, we wake up with a headache. And we call it suffering, don't we? We get a door slammed in our face, and we call it suffering. Truth be known, we don't even know what suffering is, especially living in America today. The Bible says in Acts chapter 5 and verse number 41, the disciples got a small glimpse of what Jesus went through, and they, I think they kind of got some of that spirit in their own soul. In Acts chapter 5 and verse number 41, Peter and John and the other apostles had just been with the council, and the council had beaten them, told them expressly not to preach in the name of Jesus Christ, and sent them away. And here's what Acts chapter 5 verse 41 says, they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing, that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. You see, Jesus was thankful that he had the opportunity to suffer for you we ought to be thankful for the opportunity every once in a while to suffer for Jesus. Don't you think? Praise the Lord. So in this passages we looked up this evening, Jesus is thankful for the faith of his disciples. Jesus, I think, is truly thankful. When the light clicks on in your brain, in my brain, and we see it, we apply it, and we live it, Jesus says, thank you, Father. Isn't that amazing? Praise the Lord for that. Jesus is thankful for the blessings of God. I think when God blesses your life, Jesus is thankful for that. He obviously is. He gave thanks, did he not? Jesus is thankful for the salvation of God, and you and I ought to be praising the Lord Jesus Christ because that's how other people hear about him and believe on him. And then finally, Jesus is thankful for his suffering, and we should be thankful that God allows us to suffer for his name's sake. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your goodness today. Thank you for all the blessings that you bestow upon us every day. We thank you for the suffering on the cross that you endured for us, such contradiction of sinners. Lord, we thank you that even though it was very difficult, I'm sure, physically for you, you did this anyways for us. Lord, I pray that you'd help us have a love for you. Help us, as you sacrificed, it was our dying sacrifice for us. I pray that you'd help us just be a living sacrifice for you. Lord, I pray you'd help us this evening and as we go on this holiday season, and we thank you for the opportunity we have to meet with family, friends, and just celebrate and give thanks for all the things you've given to us. But I pray that we would have this spirit all year round, and thanking Jesus for all the blessings he gives us. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.